in your mouth and speak.
Yeah, like I said, not really working. You and don't then, sound American, then, you just sound like a German with something in your mouth.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I never tried to be British and putting, how's it called, a marble underneath my tongue.
You see, they tried to teach us that too, and again, it just sounds like you're talking with a marble under your tongue.
Yeah, maybe that's exactly how British people do sound.
Like the clicking and clacking of a marble smacking against their teeth?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I just imagine that, like, click, 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 click.
So, this is episode 58 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
58?
Yes. 58.
Sorry.
48. It's episode 48.
I was wondering how many episodes did I miss?
Storm and I, we just went buck wild last week. We just made like a dozen episodes.
10 episodes? Or even 11.
Yeah, exactly.
11 episodes. And I missed episode 50. Damn.
Sorry, man. This is kind of still part of the anniversary because, I mean, we are now officially 1 year old. Woo!
Woo! We were already 1 year old last week.
But you were sick. You were dying of the plague.
Yeah, that's my first episode in the second year of Bird.life.
And this week, Storm is held up somewhere in Bird Corp. He was saying that he had some sort of a performance review that he had to go and do, so he's not here this week. It's just you and I.
Oh.
Yeah, performance reviews are scary.
Oh. I don't know what to say to that. I wanted to come like that Storm is just missing, and I wanted to ask people to print out
flyers, put them up on papers, fence post.
Flyers, yeah. Have you seen this Griffin? And
Lost responds to Storm. Sometimes responds to Catbutt.
Yeah.
$25 reward.
And don't pet his beak. It's sharp. You know he has those ridges on his beak, and if you pet it in the wrong direction, you'll get serious flesh wounds.
He's also not neutered, so keep him away from your other griffins.
Yeah, exactly. Keep your female griffins in the house.
Female? It's not limited to females, man.
Well, I mean, you know biology, I guess, so...
Oh, okay, fair enough if, you know, you're just trying to avoid kittens.
Yeah.
So how's your week been?
Pretty relaxed. I was productive with commissions. I worked a lot on art.
Yeah, holy cow. You've been like doing those posters like crazy.
Yeah. I was working on a shirt for the Mob Crew. With Stupid Shepherd.
Nice. And
it's almost ready to get pre-ordered. Probably it is already, the pre-orders are already open when the show is airing.
That's exciting. I don't know of any Sergals who specifically listen to this show, so unfortunately that advertisement's probably going to fall on mostly deaf ears. Unless you want a Sergal shirt. I mean, it is a really cool Sergal shirt. I've seen the previews for it.
I mean, I had Sergals ordering the Birdania shirt, so I assume birds, because a lot of birds are also Sergals somehow. So they may be interested in that too. So
I'm definitely going to be getting one.
Yeah, you're welcome to a Sergal life.
Oh, jeez.
Well, an episode of Sergal Life would probably be just merping and talking about wedges the whole show.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's exactly that. It's a, it's just a parallel universe of the bird life, you know, the merp life. They'd just be sitting here going, merp, 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 just like we chirp all episode.
Yeah, I actually heard that. I actually read on the wiki. I don't know how recent that article is and this knowledge, because Villas, that's the universe Sergals are living in, it changes from time to time, and then there are mistranslations. But one wiki article about the biology of Sergals said that they have a bird-like vocal system, you know, like they technically have
bird voices.
Yeah.
Sans
I assume that. But I don't know how canon it is meanwhile, because, like I said, the lore changes.
Well, if it's on the wiki, that's pretty much official at this point. If it's on the actual Villas wiki, that's usually pretty much the most up-to-date knowledge.
Well, I think I read it like 2 years ago when I created my own Sergal Sona, so...
Ah, well,
because I have a Sergal
then.
Character too. Yeah. Who knows? Well, let's just go with the flow, I would say. Go with the flow. No. Sorry, that wasn't... So that reference is only understandable for smart people who are watching Rick and Morty, you know.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah.
So maybe some of our listeners may not be able to comprehend what I just said.
I love how one person's really stupid post kind of like inverted the whole Rick and Morty community on itself. Like suddenly they're like self-hating. I don't get it. Like, before that one post, like the community itself, they're like, we're all cool. We all love Rick and Morty. It's sweet. And then one person just kind of takes it a little too far, and the rest of them go, oh, that was weird. Ugh, you're weird. Ugh, we're all weird. And then, like, yeah.
Yeah, I think that guy definitely was a troll. I mean, that post,
for sure.
I want to believe it's a troll. So,
and
because
it kind of happened around the same time as the whole Szechuan sauce debacle from McDonald's, I think everybody in the community was already kind of bitter about everything, so just did not work out in anybody's favor.
I mean, there's two things I regret, yeah?
Okay.
Not keeping an original Szechuan sauce from, what was it, 1969 or what? Whenever Mulan aired,
it was 1990 something.
Ninety-nine. Okay, yeah, whatever this, because it was. I think it was a promotion.
1960? Are you kidding me?
Sorry,
come
I just
see Disney's Mulan in 1968. We're at the height of the Vietnam War right now.
No, you know, I had a bit of I tripped up over my own tongue.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Anyways, that's one of the regrets, and the other regret I have is not buying bitcoins 2 years ago.
Right? Okay, yeah, that's a little bit painful. Like, it's not even so much about buying into them, but like getting into the whole mining aspect of it. Granted, 2 years ago I probably wouldn't have been able to afford something that could even mine decently, but you know.
I mean, if I would have, bought like, for example, like 5 bitcoins for, I think it was like €300 at this time, and now it's 30,000. So, about this, anything like that, something like that.
Yeah,
and I think
much.
Like, oh, so, my fucking god!
Here's what we need to do. Rich. Then we need to actually invest into Dogecoin.
Yeah, we should do it, or we could regret it.
We will probably regret it.
Are we doing our own crypto currency and calling it Beeps?
Beepcoin.
Beepcoin, yeah.
I would not.
Why
be
not?
That.
I mean, it should work. We just need to know how to make it.
Fleeks, that's kind of the logic of everything. We could totally do it. We just need to know how. Yeah, that pretty much sums up the gist of everything.
Okay, I'm going to study informatic, and you're studying economy or something. You're doing economy courses, so we can find out how to make that the currency rise in price and how to perfect, yeah, you know, economy things. I think we need to know how economy works, and
the economy works based on how people gather and spend your money. So part of the reason Bitcoin is so valuable is because very few people are actually using it to spend. They're all saving it and saving it and saving it, and everybody's gathering up, you know, they're mining for the resource of it. And because everybody's saving and not actually really spending it, the value of it just kind of doesn't fluctuate. It just kind of keeps steadily going up.
That sounds like something that will, like, collapse at some point.
Well,
to be honest,
there is a way it will collapse. Some of these people who have been mining Bitcoin from the beginning have very large sums of Bitcoin. If, for whatever reason, they decide to actually start spending that Bitcoin, then yeah, their economy is going to collapse very quickly. Or if someone decides, if, you know, one of them wants to, like, cash out and be like, okay, well, I'm going to actually make my Bitcoin worth physical, real American dollars or European dollars or...
European dollars!
Euros or didgeridoo-dollary-doos for Australia or whatever they decide to do. If one of those big-name people pulls out all of their savings with Bitcoin... Yeah, that's going to collapse their economy pretty quick. And then, because it could also start a chain reaction where, like, one person does it and goes, oh, okay, the value of Bitcoin just drops significantly. I better pull out before it drops much more. And there's your chain reaction, your market economy collapse, as we see on the typical stock market.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That...
I mean, I had no idea how to...
So when Bitcoin collapses, invest in Beepcoin.
I had no idea about when it was a thing, like it started. I mean, I heard that. We all heard that probably at a certain time. If I would have known how this all works and that it has, like, this potential to explode into that... I mean, ten times worse what it was like about 2 or 3 years ago. If I would have known that, I'm still regretting not being smart enough to see that opportunity of Bitcoins. Else I would be, like, rich now.
Well, that's exactly not really rich, how but... stock market works. So,
yeah.
I don't remember what Google opened when it did its IPO, but I remember, you know, the big announcement being like, you know, when was it? I was probably like 13 or 12 years old. God damn. Time flies, man. Okay, it's not even funny. But I was pretty young when Google itself opened up to public investing and, you know, market share. And I remember saying to my mom, you should probably invest in that. Like me, like this 12-year-old know-nothing kid was like, you should probably invest in that. That's gonna take off. Well, look at it now. It's pretty up there. I think it's like $800 to $1,000 per share. I could actually probably pull it up in a second here. But it's absurd.
Yeah. That definitely. And... it started with like 80 euros or something per share. I'm not sure. Are you still there?
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to get my stock market app to open. It's taking its sweet time.
I'm thinking about investing in something, in some startup company or something, and then if I'm lucky, it may make me rich, and if not, then I lose a few bucks. I don't know. But
Save up like $1,000 and pour it into them and hope for the best kind of thing?
Yeah.
1,000 euros?
I mean, a friend of mine invests... I don't have 1,000 euros. I thought more like about 200 or something. Maybe there's a share for 200. I don't know.
Yeah, but the thing is,
a friend of mine invested in some craft beer brewery. I don't know which one it was again.
Nice.
But it was like really a startup. And he invested like, I don't know, I think 500 euros a share for the shares he bought. And now it's up to 30,000. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Yep. If you got a good product and you started up, you're going to take off. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So in that same vein, I've kind of been tempted to dabble with stocks and stuff like that, but at the same time I'm more or less of the interest in, like, I would rather franchise. I would like to open up my own franchise business, like maybe invest in a coffee shop or something that, you know, I'm just going to do really well. So I've been kind of looking into that as more of a profitable resource.
Yeah.
And depending on, you know, what company you franchise with, it could cost you anywhere from $300,000 to $1 million. To open up a Starbucks, at lowest cost, it's going to cost you $1 million to franchise with them.
Oh my god, that's a lot. And then they get a part of your income.
Yeah, but you also get a lot of income. I think McDonald's is 75,000, or no, not 75, $750,000 to $1 million.
Oh my god.
And one McDonald's, you'll make that back in roughly 5 years with McDonald's. And then everything after that's profit.
That's, oh my god.
But here's the thing about McDonald's too, they send you to what they call McU. And it's basically you take a whole bunch of business courses and economy courses so that you actually kind of stay in the loop on, you know, how to run your franchise. And then you are also contractually obliged to stick to whatever McDonald's corporate tells you to do, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like serve out 5 packets of Szechuan sauce.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't want to do a franchise. I would rather invest in my own company. You know what I mean? I mean, I kind of have a few ideas what would probably go well, and I wouldn't have to pay a franchise fee.
Sure, yeah. And I mean, I would invest in you, absolutely.
Yeah, that's why we have Kickstarter. I mean, Kickstarter is full with trash. I just say Chuseru, or however it was called. Chuseru, or I don't know. And then all those kiddies that want equipment for the Let's Play channel.
Yeah, that's more of a GoFundMe thing, which is stupid.
Yeah. I mean, but you see so much creative stuff on Kickstarter, and that whole Kickstarter thing made realizing your dreams more accessible, you know what I mean? If you have a good idea, now you have the internet giving you the money to realize your dream.
Pretty much, yeah.
But you really need to come up with something good. So if you're... Now money isn't as much as a trouble anymore. Because if you have a great idea, you get the funds.
So you're talking about Kickstarter right now, and I decided to pull it up and take a look and see kind of what some of the new weird Kickstarts that are happening. Unicorn, and that's spelled Y-O-U-Nicorn. It's a new project for a 30-day workbook to find your inner unicorn.
Well, Why are unicorns in trend at the moment? I get a feeling like every brand has something unicorn related at the moment. And so I'm not very surprised about that.
It is weird. Like, they just kind of took off all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, we had unicorns since what? I mean, we have The Last Unicorn as a movie, for example. That was an old movie.
That was in the 80s,
though. Suddenly they're... Yeah, and then they were like really like, oh yeah, unicorns, and they returned. It seems like everything repeats itself after a while, you know.
Cyclical, yeah. Trends and things do go in 20 to 30 year cycles, where they'll drop off within that time frame and then come back at the end. So, take for example the comb over. Do you remember that awesome hairstyle from the mid-90s? The professional business comb-over look disappeared, thank God. And it's kind of technically come back. It's just more of the... what even is it called? It's the undercut, except... So you get an undercut on one side, and then you comb over on top, and that's what's trendy now.
Yeah. I mean, that classic... how's it called, that like classic styles return, that's a pretty common thing, I think, that happened so often already.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, I bet in like 10 years baggy pants are a thing again.
Oh, super. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I bet it. It's always like I get a feeling like I mean you know hipsters, yeah? And they are like famous for doing things that nobody else did before, yeah, you know, things before.
Things that were done before, but people just kind of wrote it off. And they kind of made it trendy, yeah.
Yeah, but I get the feeling like to stick with a certain style now. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Because they I mean, to be a hipster today, you're like a wood chopper without an axe. Kinda.
So... Again, looking through Kickstarter here, another weird Kickstarter that I have no idea why anybody's funding in the first place. Martin Luther handwriting font. So someone wants to create a font based off of Martin Luther, you know, 99 Theses, his handwritten letters. They want to base a font off of his handwriting, and they're asking for $23,000 for it.
Mm-hmm.
And $5,000 have already backed it. Almost 200 people. Like, you don't need that much money to do that. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Why?
Okay. I don't know. We don't need to understand everything, I think. I mean, if they have supporter, then it's probably people asking for that, you know? Also, I found a toothbrush that is the first battery-free but somehow powered toothbrush, and it's a new kind of eco-friendly, sustainable, and electric-free toothbrush that cleans deeper than your electric and is powered by you. So... That actually sounds like a normal toothbrush for me.
that's a weird one too. I'm looking at that as well. It by Goodwill Co. Yeah.
Oh, it's actually you can twist it, and how's it called in English? Like you
like squeeze it or something. Do you like squeeze it or something to get the brush rotating? Cause
no. I search for a word. Give me a second. So give me a second. No, that's wrong. Oh, God. that thing that you're doing with, because I can't find a translation for it.
Okay.
Hoisting. You do hoist it.
Hoisting is to lift.
Damn it! There's no freaking word for it. Okay, it's like you're doing with a clock, like with an old clock.
You're winding something. It?
Yeah, thank you. You're okay. Winding it. you wind the toothbrush, and then it runs like you make with the old car toys or clocks or something.
Right.
And I think like, isn't that? I don't think that's so practical.
No, it's time consuming. Oh, and yeah. just to summarize what I said before, Google, the corporation, not even just Alphabet, but Google itself, stocks are currently $1,042.97 per share.
Hey, look.
And yeah, like they opened at what, $80 a share? That's absurd.
Yeah. Oh my god. Actually, now that you mention it. You mentioned it before
Right.
You mentioned it before that you said as a kid to your mom, invest in Google.
Right, yes.
And it was actually a thought of myself when I was a kid too. Because even as a dumb kid who has no idea of the stock market, I was like, well, Google is a great company. And I think that will explode. I was smart enough to understand this, and let's, you know, you see, like, oh,
okay, yeah, you could recognize it, yeah.
The same, okay, and nobody believed in Apple, to be honest, but they managed to suddenly get, I mean, they were almost like getting bankrupt or something, and then they came up with their new design style and iPhones and whatever, and iPod was first. And then suddenly, they explode again.
iPod was not the first MP3 player, but what Apple was well known for is pretty much kickstarting the hipster thing. Because they would take things like MP3 players and stuff like that, and they refined them and made them sexy and made them really like easy to function and honestly a good product. I'm not going to lie. I like Apple products and the fact that they are pretty quality. Expensive and overhyped, but good quality. So they did that with the iPod, and that kind of helped get them back up. And then they took that philosophy and did that with the rest of all of their products.
Yeah. They practically invented design. I have to say, I'm not an Apple fan at all, but their design is really on point. I mean, their design, I'm very interested in design, and in design they did everything right, really. But what I mean, design, the optical thing, what I don't like is the usability of them, like that you have to have iTunes to even put MP3 files on them, you know what I mean? You have to have a special software and stuff, and that annoys me, really.
It is, because it feels like you're limited, and I can understand that. That really doesn't bother me so much as the fact that it's just, for what their products are, they could charge you roughly 20% less and still make a good profit off of it, and they really just overcharge for this premium look and premium design. So $1,000 laptop, they could actually sell for $800 and still make massive profit off of it, but they're not going to, just because they know that they have people caught hook, line, and sinker for brand loyalty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Apple topic is generally, I get the feeling like way too much people go way too emotional about Android versus Apple. I mean, I like to make jokes about for iPhones, sure, and stuff, and I'm often getting like reactions like, you know, like really mad reactions when I make a joke about
where they get protective iPhones over their brand loyalty. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my best friend, his family has always been like Apple like aficionados. Straight up before like even like probably from the late 80s onward. Like that's kind of how invested they are in Apple.
Macintosh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, Macintosh, like the original like Palm Pilot kind of looking thing that went on. So they've been around, like his family's been hardcore into that for that long. And I've always just I've been Microsoft, you know, because again, Apple's like stupid expensive. So I would just go with Windows, Microsoft, happy. It's always been the better gaming platform, technically. So that's kind of one of my interests and where that lies.
Yeah.
And whenever I'd bring my laptop over to my friend's house, his dad would give me absolute hell for having a Windows in his house. And it was like, dude, calm down. Like, this level of brand loyalty is just weird. But I did kind of technically get some sweet vengeance on him. It took a while. But my friend, last winter, built his first PC. We wanted to build gaming PCs that could, like, tackle things on high resolution, make it beautiful, make it amazing. So he built his own PC, and now he has his own, like, dedicated PC room, like, in his dad's house. And his dad just kind of, like, smolders over it whenever, like, that discussion comes up. So it's sweet. It's a nice little, like, vengeance for the fact that, you know, he would rib me for something stupid.
Okay. Well, it's you could practically be like, hey, look at all the awesome games I'm playing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, but he was much more about the design, aesthetic, and everything like that. It's like, no, functionality, man.
I have a very random thought right now. I remembered something that was a thing when I was a kid.
Okay.
Nokia.
Yeah.
Do you know the N-Gage?
You caught me as I was sipping coffee and I choked. Okay, so, yes. The N-Gage was like the original gaming cell phone.
Nokia.
Sort of.
Yeah, thing. It was their own console, like a handheld console. Nokia tried and to be very smart with combining games and a smartphone, yeah. And it was something between the Super Nintendo and the PS1, like, from the functionality, like, graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
And but it flopped so hard. It was not a success. But they, I did not know that they had like two models. And I randomly, when I saw it a few days ago, I was like, oh my god, right, that was a fucking thing. Oh my god. Especially the same with the Nokia Communicator that was like a mini laptop, you know? That was also a thing. And
you're right.
What I also wanted to say is, like, Nokia has a revival somehow, like, and they are no Android phones. And
I've got some hope for them. I really hope they do take off, because they've always kind of produced really good cell phones, and their current lineup is no different. There's just a few holdups with them actually being able to take off.
Yeah, I.
They're
treated
really more as like an independent startup company now than an actual established corporation.
Yeah, but that's not too bad, because people are kind of crazy for startup companies, I feel like.
Yeah, but when you're trying to get on board with Verizon or T-Mobile or whoever you want to be able to, you know, market and sell your phones, they want something that's established. They don't want something that looks like a startup. That's why you won't see any of these somewhat decent startup phones in a store. You have to buy them outright and then get them on the network.
Exactly. That's a point too. But I think Nokia still has kind of a name. I mean, if you know that when like, oh, they're doing smartphones now. Oh, great! I had a Nokia Nokia 3610, like everyone, I guess. And this phone was like, I had a feeling like it could survive a nuclear war, really, like it was practically, it sounds bad, but the cockroach of phones, like it survived.
I was reading somewhere.
Weeks without a charge.
Yeah, I was reading somewhere someone found their old Nokia from like 1999, and they found it in like their basement or something, and they pulled it up, and it still had a 3% charge on it.
Oh yeah, that's incredible, really. If you think about smartphones, I need to charge my smartphone every day almost.
Yeah.
Sometimes it depends on how active I'm on it. It actually manages to contain the power if you don't use it, if you let it in standby.
Mm-hmm. And so my first laptop was like a Windows ME something. I don't have the laptop anymore, but for whatever reason, I decided to save the battery. And when I saved the battery, it had a full charge on it. And I still have the battery in my basement, much like this dude with his Nokia. And once every couple of years or like so, I'll go down and like when I see it, I'll check the charge level on it because it has one of those little push-button indicators, which was kind of cool for the time. And it's sitting there at just under a quarter of full charge left.
Oh my god, that's incredible.
And that was from 2000, so wow, approaching 20 years now.
I mean if you don't close the circuit, it doesn't really.
It's true, but
have
it's still
the chance
kind of amazing,
to discharge.
You
know? Yeah. I mean, it's amazing if you think about it. Yeah.
You don't sound convinced.
I mean, normally if you like put batteries on site, yeah, or let them in something, they start to leak.
Yeah,
they get old and they like corrode, and then you have the battery juice everywhere, and it's really disgusting. But yeah, so I think you have a high quality battery there then.
And I mean, see if you can get that out of today's laptops. I don't know how long lithium ion holds a charge for when not cycling.
The actual thing is that they don't have this memory effect, but they are aging faster, I heard.
Yeah, they really do. So after owning a smartphone for a year, you'll notice diminished battery life on it. I just had to go and buy a new battery for my cell phone.
Yeah, I noticed that with the Samsung I had at first, and I needed to charge it every after 3 hours already, almost like when I used it actively.
Yeah.
And then I switched to my Huawei 9 and P10, and they really keeping the charge. They are really good. I think they are developing too, you know, that their battery technology did not stop to get better.
I was reading an article a couple months ago about some new breakthrough in battery technology that would be able to hold massive amounts of charge for long periods of time, but I honestly don't remember where I found the article, so I can't even pull it up.
The fascinating thing on the Huawei P9 was that it was like thin, but it had 3,600 milliampere of charge, and it was more than I think the iPhone at this time, and the iPhone was thicker. So that was really the reviewers were like, wow, how did they do that?
Yeah.
But yeah, Huawei is a really great company. That's practically a brand I am loyal to at the moment. But I may try Nokia next because I have good memories with Nokia.
Yesterday or the day before yesterday, Razer, the gaming laptop company, announced their Razer phone. And
oh.
It looks kind of like a black brick, to be honest with you, but it in kind of a stylish sort of way, and the specs on it are pretty damn good. It's one that I'm kind of considering, and I'm not even a fan of Razer. Again, they're the Windows equivalent of an overcharging company for.
Razer. Yeah, I think if you go in tech forums, I mean the kiddies pretty much hype their keyboards, their mechanicals.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going if you dig deep in the gaming community, people would recommend you more stuff like I forgot something with. Cooler something. I don't know. I have to look it up. I'm not an expert in mechanical keyboards.
I still don't understand the hype behind mechanical keyboards. Honestly, I don't. I have one in front of me right now. It's super loud, and like that's not even like super pressing hard on the buttons. That's just pressing a button. And I know there are quieter iterations of mechanical keyboards and stuff like that, but I don't understand the hype behind them when, honestly, the keyboard that I was using before this one, I'm probably going to switch back later this afternoon, I got for $14. It was backlit. It has all of the same functions, and it was significantly quieter. Significantly.
I think it's somehow the haptic and the
They like the clicking. They like the feeling of the spring behind the key.
Yeah.
And if that's all you're paying for, that's stupid. I'm sorry, mechanical keyboard lovers who listen to the show, but it's stupid.
Yeah, I think the same. I'm like totally satisfied with the membrane keyboard. Really, I don't really need a mechanical keyboard.
The big argument I hear frequently is like, well, your mechanical keyboard's not going to break down, but your membrane keyboard, the membrane eventually wears out, and then the keys stop working and, not being very good. And my counter argument to that was, it lasted me 2 years for $14. I'm just going to go get a new one. It's fine.
Yeah. Sorry that I took your point away before you could.
Versus spending $60, $80, $120 on a mechanical keyboard.
But it's all about the feeling, I think. It's maybe you can even game better with it. Maybe there's some less delay or something. I don't know.
No, but it's still USB. There wouldn't be any less delay on that. So, I don't know. Hit me up. Beep at bird.life. Rant at me. Tell me how stupid I am for saying that. But I'll listen and read them out.
I'm wondering what Storm would say to that.
I don't think he has a mechanical keyboard because he was complaining about the clicking of my mechanical keyboard previously. Justified.
But he thought that mechanical keyboards are practically were the first keyboards that were available. They were mechanical,
because typewriters. Because we didn't have silicone.
Oh my god. I forgot the point I wanted to make, but now that you mentioned typewriter, how awesome but useless would be a keyboard that's inspired by old typewriters?
If we're going to start talking about the design of things, there is a mechanical keyboard that is inspired by the design of old typewriters, and it has the extended spring buttons that go down a little bit further. And it has the very classic look to it. I like that. See, that's a style to itself. Like, if you're going to... Sorry, I know you want to say something here. But that's a style unto itself. Say you have, like, a steampunk kind of setup for your... if you've ever watched... what is the show? Warehouse 13. He kind of had a really, like, typewriter-esque springboard keyboard kind of thing. And, like, the setup was very steampunk looking. That looked kick-ass. And if you're going for designs and, the appearance of it, there are a lot of really sexy-looking mechanical keyboards out there. But if you're just going for the functionality of it, there's no point. I'm sorry, there isn't.
Yeah, I don't have much experience with mechanical keyboards, but I got the feeling... my university has mechanical keyboards in their SIP pools, in their... informatic pools and stuff where the students can go to use the PCs.
Oh, so a nice quiet study area where people sit down to go do research and stuff, and in the background all you hear is... Ah, that's what they're intended. Soothing.
That's what they're intended for, but actually I get the feeling like they're using it for watching YouTube videos and taking a break from
lectures. Sure. It is college you're talking about here, right? Yeah, for sure.
I'm practically talking about university in Germany. And what I wanted to say is I'm it's a bit harder for me to type on them, and but that's actually because I'm used to a smaller keyboard, I think, because I only have my laptop keyboard here in my home, because I only have a laptop for work and for everything. I'm not gaming on my PC, and not yet, but I'm getting a gaming PC.
We're gonna get you there.
Yeah, I get one from a friend, hopefully this month. And yeah, and then I have like I'm not joking, I have 12 terabyte of memory on that PC. Then
god damn, why?
Yeah, I don't know.
What are you gonna be doing? Like, are you gonna be like rendering video processing? Like, what the shit?
Hey, I can use it for my art, because some files are like in Geek.
Are you gonna start doing fourth or fifth dimension level art? Am I going to look at your art and see into the future?
Well, I don't need as much, but it's kind of unlimited space. I can I never have to worry about getting out of space again, because on my laptop I only have like 200 gigabytes, and I ran out of space so fast.
So you're talking about memory versus actual space on your computer, like hard drive space.
Hard drive space, yeah. Hard drive space. And I'm pretty excited about... And it also has, in like, I think, 256 gigabyte SSD additionally.
And that's... Okay, so when I built my computer... So from what I understand, solid state drives wear down over time and fragments of it become unusable as it wears out. So what I did when I built mine is I got 120 gigabytes, for a solid state drive, put the OS on there and put my most frequently opened software on there. Stuff that, you know, so I can start it up and it pretty much snaps to life. Like, my computer boot time is like 4 seconds. It's awesome. Have a normal hard drive that is 3 terabytes in size for everything. It'll store the games, it'll store files, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly, that's my plan. The system files are coming on, will be on the STD, and the games and everything else, my art, and so on, will be on the hard drives, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The mechanical ones. Practically. Yeah, I have not a huge knowledge of PCs. And but STDs are faster, and if the system is faster, your whole PC probably runs faster. That's logic for me, you know.
I went into it very green as well, not knowing really much of how to build a PC on its own. Like, I understand, you know, components and whatnot, but like not actually knowing how to connect or build or anything like that. PCpartpicker.com. We're not sponsored by them or anything. I know I said it like we were, and I wish we were, because that'd be really cool. But go to that website, and it literally gives you a shopping list. Just fill in the blanks with various parts, and then... you click a button and it ships it all to you, and it's going to find you the best deals on them.
I think, can it be that we already talked about that one?
Yeah, I think I was talking to Storm about it previously too, because he was talking about rebuilding a PC.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
And Juco as well, who I think a month ago finished building his PC, and his is something just under $2,000. Like, he went all in on it. Like, the high-end everything. He built a beautiful PC. Ask him, he'll send pics.
Maybe I should make a Kickstarter and say I need a high-end PC for bird art. Would you back me? Send a mail to
Go fund Fleeks.
Steven Bird Life. Go fund Fleeks. No, I'm just kidding. I would never take your money for stuff like that, really. But yeah. I have so many projects I want to fund anyways, so I would use, if I would ever do a fund campaign, I would really do it for other stuff that has more like future perspective, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't actually want to tell you what I have in mind because I don't want anyone to steal my ideas. Because they are brilliant, yeah. You can't steal, no. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I have
Feel like
some
that's half
ideas
your
I'm
mindset with
working on.
everything is, no, I'm not telling you everything. Haha, it's like secret, super secret German technology. Ah.
Super secret. Yeah, the thing is, I think if you have a really, if you feel like you have a really good idea, you shouldn't go to everyone and tell them because there could be other people that think, hey, this idea is really good and imitating it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And like, if you're going to at least, get, your designs and everything out. Like, if you're going to
Yes.
try to release a product, get everything established so that at least you know you're first. Like, all of your stuff is dated and you've got maybe your patents or your copyrights or whatever you need in place before
Yes,
you
yes.
release whatever it is you're doing.
Exactly. I mean, you don't need a patent for everything, but if you have a general business idea, especially let's talk about the furry fandom. If you have an idea in the furry fandom, and the furry fandom is kind of a section of consumers, they have a specific taste and do want specific things. And if you find a niche within that fandom,
Oh, for sure.
you can get make a good business really out of
You
that.
really can, yes. And
And if
that
you,
applies to many niches and communities.
yeah,
How
and
do you
if
think,
you,
like,
if,
fetish and bondage communities, like, really, really took
yeah.
off? People started producing, sorry, toys and stuff, and people were like,
Exactly.
this is good. That's how Bad Dragon got started, is one person
Yeah,
was just
Bad
like,
Dragon
hey,
was.
let's start making things out of silicone.
Exactly, and now they are practically without competition. I mean, there are two or three other companies who are trying to make them competition, but everybody knows Bad Dragon, and it's an established brand, and they are the
The biggest.
producer of adult toys in the fandom that makes money as
And here's the
heck.
thing, it is not limited to the fandom anymore. Maybe when Bad
Yeah.
Dragon first started out, it was kind of like a niche fandom thing. By no means are they anymore. They are a very well-established toy store, adult toy store, fantasy adult toy store is what they market themselves as. And if you get outside the furry bubble, you'll still see a lot of people in fetish communities and everything, or just people looking for toys. They'll talk about Bad Dragon very commonly.
Or and my thought was like I as some of you may know my artwork, and I kind of felt like the fandom is missing like this like kind of advertisement art that I love to hang on my wall, you know what I mean? Like mock product advertisement, like I did for the circles that the cheese sauce, circle cheese sauce with that circle head on it that made up a brand, or the cat coffee I did, or Kitsune, how is it called? Oh my God, I forgot my own art. Sorry. You know what I want to say. That is my and this art was pretty much appreciated by people that thought the same thing like I like that like this classical advertisement art, you know? And they told me like, hey, Fleeks, That's great, because that's something I would actually hang on my wall. Because it doesn't scream furry, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's my target. That's my target for where I want to go with my art and stuff.
The subtle furry approach.
Yeah, subtle furry approach, exactly. That the same goes for my shirt designs. I want them to be verbal in public, not like a lot of... I like furry concerts often, but they are most of the time, except some exceptions, of course. They are mostly like nothing I would wear in public, because I don't know. It just doesn't fit my style. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's not subtle. It's like furry in your face. But then there are, except I want to shout them out because they do great shirt design. And that's the Gdacon, that's a Polish con, and they have the greatest shirts ever made, really. They are well designed, wearable in public, and oh my god, I love them. I just wanted to shout them out. So,
well, should we move on to questions?
Yeah, Storm, give us the question.
Aww. Oh, we miss you, Storm. He'll be back next week.
Okay, I
and
try.
I won't to... be here.
Spoiler.
Not really. I'm pretty sure people are going to catch on the trend here quick.
I try to go way back with the question.
Okay.
And then I try. How would Storm do that? I don't know how to ask questions.
would you like me to do the Storm impersonations here?
Let me try. Let us. First, I go, then you go, and then I go. Something like that, you know, alternating.
Sure. Okay. And we're using the questions.
Okay.
Group.
Random question. Yeah.
Okay.
Random question. I see there. Okay, I picked that randomly, so I have to ask it. From Tianos, however you pronounce him, Tianos Acasta. Oh, no, Storm Style. The incredible, cheerpolicious Tianos Acasta asks, Pillow fight, anyone?
Pillow fight!
Pillow fight! Yeah, I have no pillow here right now.
I'm traumatized my microphone.
I mean, I'm sitting on a pillow, but I'm too lazy to stand up.
To get up and throw it at me? Okay, yeah. Cool.
The distance is too far, so we will have a pillow fight when we meet in real life. That's a promise.
Okay. That's a weird thing to promise, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we should do. I mean, I'm always thinking like, hey, what am I doing when I meet Carr and Storm?
Smack him with a pillow?
Yeah, we could do that. Like going in a room and doing a pillow fight.
Or we could just take the pillow fight all over the con.
A con-wide pillow fight. That's a great idea, Cor. And I'm wearing the fursuit I have, and you're doing some cosplay as whatever you want. Like, I kind of can... You should be Mario and Luigi.
I could probably pull off Luigi.
Yeah, and Storm is Mario.
And you'd be Peach.
It's me. Who is Peach?
You're Peach.
Why the heck?
Because you have the long hair.
Oh!
All right.
I baked your cake.
From the incredible Klanga, why do birds in general hate pants so much?
That's a question, actually, you should answer, because you're the one who hates pants.
So I'm the only one who hates pants.
My character wears loves shorts. Like
they're
those.
Uncomfortable and unnecessary. We got crotch fluff. We're good. We ain't exposing anything. We're not being indecent.
Yeah, but it's it looks cool.
No, they don't. The only useful thing about pants is pockets, and we have backpacks now.
Backpacks are not as useful as pants where you have your
or
like,
just
wallet,
use your bird pocket.
Your phone. Where's the bird pocket?
Don't ask that question.
We are not kangaroos.
Bird pocket.
Oh,
TM.
Bird pocket. Yeah. Actually,
maybe we could just invent bird fanny pack style things. And that could replace pants completely, because the only use of pants is the pockets.
And that they are looking cool. Those vintage pants with a lot of pockets.
You're
they
a weird
great.
Bird. Let's go on to the next question. I don't understand you.
Well, yeah. Oh, also, let's go to the next question. And it's asked by the grandiose, wise, awesome, Squawkalicious Eclipse Griffin. And he asks us, complete the sentence, if I had a griffin, period. If I had a griffin.
Okay.
Complete the sentence. I would personally, if I had a griffin, I would let him ask the question.
Right, okay, sure. If I had a griffin fall down my stairs, I would leave him there. No, I wouldn't.
Good thing griffins are immune against falling down the stairs.
If I had a griffin, my water bill would go through the roof because of how often I would need to bathe it.
We are back to the classic bird life. You all appreciate. Well, if I had a griffin, I would probably... They are pretty big. I would use them as a bat. Because they are probably warm and comfy. I assume that. Because they are floof, you know? And they would probably wouldn't mind. I assume.
So, just like you do with regular cats, aren't you supposed to boot your griffin out at night? And make it sleep outside?
Why? It's great if your cat sleeps with you in your bed, actually. But the problem is if they start to play midnight. So, yeah.
Well, the reason you kick your cat out at night is because they do play all night. If you leave them inside, you'll hear them running throughout the house at 2 a.m. in the morning. Would a griffin do that too? Probably.
Depends on the cat. I had one that was like sleeping the whole night next to me. And
actually, that's a good question to ask because, so birds are super diurnal most of the time, unless you're an owl.
Yeah. Or an oil bird.
Yeah. You're not active at night ever because that's where the danger things are. But cats are super active at night because they have better night vision than anything. So would a griffin be equally diurnal nocturnal? Would it have a preference for one or the other? Would you have some griffins that were active during the day and other griffins that would be running up and down the stairs all night?
I think they would be pretty similar to cats, depending on, I think the cat would be. I'm actually not sure. That's a question we should give to our listeners. Yeah. Answer this question for us, listeners.
Please.
Because we are really confused about the answer. Yeah. So it's your turn to ask the question, I assume.
Okay. I'll go with one of the more recent ones. The sexy, wonderful Moriar asks, do any of y'all play Magic the Gathering? If so, what commander is best for a bird tribal deck?
I never understood Magic the Gathering.
It's like Pokemon cards, except older and a little bit more complicated.
I played Yu-Gi-Oh!
Well, that's why no one would play with you on the playground, Fleeks.
It was actually pretty fun. It was fun.
That's why no one sat next to you at lunch.
Hey, it was. I was in that right age when this was a trend, and it was kind of a nice game that wasn't so as hard to understand as Magic: The Gathering. I attempted Magic: The Gathering, but I was too dumb to play it, actually.
So let's see here. My experience with Planeswalkers has not been the super best so far. Are we talking about maybe like a Commander deck itself? I don't play Commander style at all. But if we're talking Planeswalkers, I think the new Whatley Warrior Poet would actually be a pretty damn good card for anything bird or dinosaur related. Just throwing that out there. I don't expect Fleeks to understand.
I did not understand anything, right? That was...
That's okay, Fleeks. That was Magic
perfect,
speak.
Perfect nerd talk. Perfect nerd talk. Like you sounded like the cliché nerd from cartoons.
Thank you. You're still going to be eating dinner alone.
I appreciate nerds. Because they are really enthusiastic in something.
Oh, absolutely!
We are absolutely
nerds, Fleeks. Like we cannot. We're running a podcast about birds for birds. Like we're absolutely nerds. Like that's inescapable at this point.
We are actually like kind of birds are practically even nerdier furries because they're even more specialized on a certain thing, and we're
podcast... also better than the rest of the furries. That's just a fact.
I will not comment it because
you will not disagree because it's the truth.
So that's because I'm saying nothing, I'm not disagreeing.
Exactly, you're agreeing.
Well, I will just say nothing to it at all. So, I kind of understand why Storm is skipping over the challenges. Thank you, Storm. Thank you. Acer Rally asks, oh, sorry, I forgot to get you in the mood to answer the question. So, the awesome, probably Irish, Ace O'Reilly asked, I'm sorry if you're not Irish, but you have this O thing in your name, so I don't know. But
did you just assume his nationality?
Yeah, they are asked, they were asking, why is the Earth flat? I'm not sure
next.
If that's true. I'm not sure if that's true. You should listen to your...
Nope, not engaging. Sorry.
To teacher.
Try again later.
Try again later.
Good try. Nope, not happening.
Yeah. I can tell you why the moon is fake, but not why the Earth is flat. No, actually... Conspiracy theories are kind of amusing me a lot.
Okay, one sec here. Okay, he's okay. Eclipse Griffin asks, if you two were to be merged in a horrible scientific experiment, probably run by Talon, would you become Fleekor or Corfleek?
If they combine our DNA or what?
Yes, if they were to merge us together physically.
Oh, like in The Fly, if you're using a teleporter together.
Yes,
like that we are.
I think
both.
That would probably come out to who the more dominant personality would be, which would decide whose name was first. So obviously, Corfleek.
Maybe it's like in The Simpsons with No. Oh god, I just remember what happened when they teleported their dog and the cat. And... no, that wouldn't happen. whoever knows the reference would probably chuckle right now, but no. I won't go into details. Cornflakes kind of sounds like cornflakes. Cornflakes, you know.
Well, see, that's what chat devolved into after that, and they didn't ask any more questions. So they were too entertained by cornflakes.
Yeah, I mean that joke is pretty much it's freaking old, really. It's a freaking when I entered the fandom, they already started to hey cornflakes, and they actually every smaller con I attended in the beginning of my fandom career, they always like decorated cornflakes packages. And made the mascots always like foxes because I started to defend them as a fox and they decorated it and changed the name of the cornflakes to cornflakes or cornflakes even.
That okay, weird.
Yeah, they love to pun. Yeah, they love to make this joke with me, this pun. Oh man,
sorry, puns are the lowest form of comedy. That's at least my opinion.
Except the right people are doing it. I mean, I think Mal actually has a pun license. I would. He should never stop to do puns because it's like he would stop being himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe that's a problem worth considering when your personality is. Defined by your puns. Maybe you need to take a second to reconsider a few things in life. Maybe. Just suggestion. No, I do love Mel. The puns do get to me. They are painful, and occasionally I have to step out and go, but yeah.
He has a high point of his career at the moment. He tweeted a pun to the official Twitter of Wishfart, what's actually a cartoon I hype a lot at the moment, and I'm sorry for all my Twitter followers. But he tweeted a pun to them, and they actually punned back, and I think that was the highlight of his pun career.
Oh my gosh.
Shout out to Wishfart, you should watch this cartoon. It has a puffin that's super adorable. Like, awesome, and the bird's jokes are on point. So if you like bird jokes and cliches,
watch check it out.
Yeah. The puffin is the best bird in cartoons I saw since
Puffins
ages.
Are adorable in real life.
Yeah. And this puffin is actually called Puffin. It's awesome. I send you a gif of this puffin later, Cor.
Okie dokie.
So, well, should we make another question or
I was
going
to say, do you want
up?
To wrap up? Because we are at an hour 15 minutes now.
I think it's a good point to wrap it up.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Or joining us. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll just take all the credit.
You're not alone here. You should make an episode alone. Just call it Cola.
Actually, no. That was something Storm and I were talking about. And... I don't think any of us would be able, like, do you know how hard it is just to, like, keep talking to yourself for more than 5 minutes? It's impossible. How, like, people manage to do that and just keep talking? I don't understand. I need someone to bounce off of. I need you, and I need Storm, and you guys are requirements in my life.
Well, I actually thought about doing a parody episode, doing... some kind of episode like that and call it what I want to say. I thought about making a joke and doing an episode of Fleek's Life where I'm just recording myself and talking to myself and playing all of you and make it a forever alone theme for our dear Patreons to listen to and be either amused or cringed out by.
or both
yeah. So yeah, definitely. So you were about to wrap Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
If enough people tell me I should do it, so listener, you have the chance, and I will do it. Like, comment, and subscribe. I need 20,000 likes to do it. Come on.
Oh my gosh. We've just hit Facebook status. That's a new low for us.
No, that's YouTube. That's YouTube.
Oh,
YouTube.
Okay.
So yeah, like, comment, and subscribe.
All right, round two. Thank you so much for joining us. Feel free to catch us on Twitter or on Facebook. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, RSS feed, or wherever you happen to subscribe to your podcast from. We're probably there. If you enjoy the show, please help us. Please help to keep us ad-free. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/birdlifepodcast. We do have extra content on there available, and we really do appreciate anything that you're willing to contribute, even if it's just a dollar, if it's more than that, awesome. But, you know, thank you so much for being a part of the show. We really appreciate it, and we wouldn't be doing this without you.
And as you know, we are approaching episode 50 soon, sooner or later. Actually, in two shows, it's actually it's pretty close. That's what I want to say. And yeah, we actually had the idea that we are like incorporating you into this episode and kind of reacting to that. You will see how it works out.
Yes.
When the episode is there. So please record something, whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Whatever idea you have, record something for about 1 minute. 1 minute is like, yeah, the limit. You can go a bit above it or below it. Whatever, if it's really good, you can even go 2 minutes. Like, but consider that we have limited time. So record something, and we are putting it on the show. And yeah, like I said, we react to it. So, and send it either to Core directly via Telegram.
At Core Raven,
exactly.
Or beep at bird.life.
Yeah, beep at bird.life. And if it doesn't fit in the email you're sending, upload it to Dropbox or something. You will
figure
it out.
I'm sure they can figure it out. They're smart. Yeah, they're very smart people.
You're a very smart bird.
As we established earlier, only the most smart people listen to this show.
Also, if you care about our advice, you can send questions to anything you want advice for to bird.life/advice or beep@bird.life.
And you can totally remain anonymous if you do that as well. Yes. All right. Well, thank you, and always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Once again, there are no bloopers this week. Maybe next week. But instead, enjoy a minute and 15 seconds of The Rook.